This morning we'll be in chapter 6, and I will begin by reading it, and then we'll come back to it. Verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And verse 3, and one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved, and the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of glory. Then flew one of the seraphims to me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? And then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear you hear indeed, but understand not, and see indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. And then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have moved men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak tree, whose substance is in them, when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. And this is a wonderful chapter. Seems short, but there's a lot of stuff in it. We have to realize that the Bible is an internal book. Do you understand that? Mm-hmm. Okay, the Bible is internal. So as we talk about this King Uzziah, everything is written, as Jesus said in Matthew 13, everything is done in parabolic language. He said, I will never speak except in parables to the multitudes. So to humanity, he's speaking in parables. But to the first fruit sons of God, they understand. If God has created the hearing ear and the seeing eye in you, you can understand what I'm saying. If he hasn't, then you're just going to see a king died. You don't know who this king was. Well, see, there was a king in this land, and this king is self. King Uzziah. Uzziah represents strength or self. And when your self dies, is the only time that your eyes is going to see who the Lord really is. You hear what I'm saying? Until you die to yourself, until that natural self of self-protection, self-preservation dies, you will never see the Lord of hosts. See, people want to see God, but they want to see him coming in the sky. The only way you're going to see God is God present in you or in someone else. But until your self-preservation and your self-strength die, you'll never see him. You won't see him.
That'd be the moon, myself, and I.
That's right. As long as you see me, myself, and I, you don't see God.
At this time, it would turn into more of the we and us.
The we and us, the we us.
Would be the focus.
Right? That's the focus. Okay. He said, in the year that he died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon his throne high and lifted up. See, there's what he's telling you. Until I die to my own ways of doing everything and doing what Father has asked me to do. And doesn't the book clearly state that you are not your own, you were bought with a price? Mm-hmm. Okay, so now I've got to let myself die out to my ways of doing and my thinking and see what God has for us.
So
we've got to start to mature. He said he was high and lifted up. He was elevated. He was on the throne. And his train, and that train is a robe or a covering. Okay? Now, what do you think that is? It's his righteousness. That he's covered with righteousness. He is righteousness. And he's covering us with his righteousness. And it filled the temple, right? Well, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 2 Corinthians 6:16 speaks of us as being, Know you not, you're the temple of the living God. Huh? So this temple is being filled is what?
Us.
It's us. See, when I see that I have died to my way of thinking, to my way of doing things, that self-preservation, that self-defense that's built into human psyche, then I can see God taking His throne in me, between my ears, in my thinking process. And it says, above it, what is it? The temple, that's the mind, stood the seraphim. Now, what are seraphim? Well, it's a symbolic creature. It's not real. Just like the cherubim, they're imaginary. They're not real. They're symbolic. They're not real. They're symbolic things. Okay? And each one had six wings. Six is the number of what?
Man.
So he's telling, this is the human way of doing things. And it says, with twain, and the word twain means two. So with two of them, he covered his face. What did Adam do in the garden as soon as he did something and was exposed? He covered himself, see? This is the human way of taking care of self-preservation and self-defense, is to cover yourself, to protect yourself. So he covered himself up who he thought he really was. The wrong identity, but who he thought he was. And with two, he covered his feet. That was his lifestyle. That's where you walk through life, what you do. Feet represent your lifestyle. And with two, he did fly. And it literally should say he flew to and fro. That means he was just all over the place. So what's that telling you about this creature?
Double-minded.
Double-minded, unstable. See? Not with a set course in life, because he's still relying on the six. The man, see, the nature of man.
His own strength.
His own strength and everything like that. See, and that's the imagination that we have to deal with every day. Even though we know that Christ lives within us, we know that God is within us, we have to deal with that seraphim, that imaginary, symbolic creature in our minds. Just because I know about God doesn't mean I have to don't have to fight with this thing every day. And when I get up, like Paul said, I die daily. I got to deal with this thing every day. So do you. We got to get up every morning and slap that woman in the mouth and tell her to get in the back seat. Right?
Wouldn't it be like an imaginary self-preservation?
Well, it's the imaginary, it's the thinking of the natural man that makes you want to trust yourself, what you see and what you hear and what you feel, the natural senses of man, mm-hmm. instead of trusting what God is saying to us.
Yeah.
See, that's the natural man wanting to do with, he wants to be able to see. And there's scripture, and we'll see it here in Isaiah. Sorry. It said, we wanted to see these miracles like man always has all through the Bible. They wanted to see miracles and signs and wonders. And Jesus said, except you see, you won't believe.
Yeah.
That tells you they have what? No faith. See, faith is a gift of God, and you can believe without seeing. And didn't Jesus say, blessed are those who don't see but yet believe?
They're still hanging on to
the old
man that's what I was being.
Living in the past.
They're imagining that's important, and they're trying to hang on to it.
Absolutely.
Their old nature is trying to let go of that and
right.
trust in God.
Absolutely. So we got to realize that I don't have to see something to believe it. I heard God say it, that settles it for me. I'm that weird duck that believes what God says. You know, they can say I'm weird, I'm a freak of nature, whatever they want to, but that's okay, because I believe what God tells me. And I hear God speak to me, and I don't care what any people say about that. People say, oh, God don't talk to you. Well, you can believe what you want. I know what I hear, and it don't make any difference, because I know every human being on the face of the earth hears things in their head every day. If they don't, they're lying or they're stoned, something going on. I know you hear things in your head. Everybody does. Those seraphim are standing there to deal with us constantly. And just as Jesus, and I'll give you another example of what that says there in that second verse, Jesus was driven by the Spirit of God into the wilderness in Luke 4, I think, whether Mark 4 or Luke 4? I think both of them. But it says he was driven into the wilderness by the Spirit. And while he was there in the wilderness, he was tempted. There's this picture of hiding and covering up, see, a natural man still there. And it said, and after 40 days and 40 nights of the temptation and no hunger, I mean, no food, no water, and the angels came and ministered to him, and the devil departed him for a season. See? So even when that season was over, refreshing was over, he still had to face that every day. There's no giving up in this life. That things will be kicking and screaming until the day that we die.
Until we're crucified.
Until, no, it's not necessarily the crucifixion. It's till we physically pass from this world, we got to deal with that thing. It's not like, okay, I've arrived and it's over with. That's the deception that we get out of religion, that I have arrived. Okay, I'm a Christian, I've arrived, I don't have to worry about anything anymore. That's a bunch of hogwash that some religious person made up. If Jesus had to continually deal with this as long as he was living on this earth, so do we. But we know we have the authority, and greater is the he that is within me than the he that's in the world. Right? So I know I can deal with this thing. I have the authority to take a power over it.
My point was, and it goes back to verse 1, when Uzziah died.
That was a crucifixion.
Right, when Jesus was on the cross and he was crucified, mm-hmm. That's when he lost his strength, the man's strength,
right.
not the Christ.
Right, absolutely.
That was my point.
Okay, but you said it in the wrong verse. Okay, I understand where he was going now. And one of them cried to another and said, holy, holy, literally he called out to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now I'm going to tell you, if there is ever a rich statement, that's one of them right there. The whole earth, we're not talking about the globe we're standing on, but we're talking about humanity. Right? What are we made from? Isn't the whole forest in the acorn? Well, when Adam was formed, the whole humanity was in that man. Correct? So it says the whole earth is full of his glory. Is Christ in all humanity?
Yeah.
Every man that came from Adam has the seed of God within him. Just like it said in chapter 5, when he had a vineyard, and my well-beloved has a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he planted it with the choicest vine, his seed himself. Right here it is again. He just keeps coming back and saying it in another way. But the whole earth is full of his glory. It's him.
Is this the verse, you know, like in some, I know in Catholic and in Methodist, there's like certain parts of the service or whatever where they kind of do the holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might.
Yeah. They just read them things and they think there's magic in saying the words. And you're right, that's one of them. But it's not the saying the words or repeating the words, because you could teach a parrot to say them, it won't change them. But what you got to realize is understanding it. You got to understand it. And it's, and here we get down into the understanding right down toward the end of this chapter here, just in a few minutes.
And the question arises, who is the one that cried to
the cherubim. The seraphim, the imaginary creatures. It's the things in her mind. See, it's saying it. They even realize that everything is God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. They realize that he's already bought the earth. Didn't he purchase it with a price? He bought the whole earth. And they say, hey, what are we going to do? He's already got us defeated. Come on, that's what they're realizing. They're saying, he's holy everywhere. They're all saying, holy, holy, holy. Guess what? What can I do about it? They're already defeated. When was the lamb slain?
Before
the foundation or the conception of the world. So before they ever got started, it's a stacked deck. So when God created everything, the price had already been paid, and they come up and are saying, hey, what chance have we got? He's already beat us.
Yeah. Surrendering all.
Yeah. And they say the whole earth is full of his glory.
They're just acknowledging.
They're acknowledging what they can see. God has shown them, hey, we can't defeat these people. We cannot defeat these people. The whole earth is full of his glory. Everyone has God in them.
They're acknowledging that the king died.
But anyway, like I said, the whole earth is full of his glory. Everybody has Christ in them. And they're acknowledging that. And it says, the posts, okay, of the door. The posts of the door. What is the post of the door? It's the pillars or the strength of the door. It's the body of Christ. Okay? Moved or trembled at the voice of him that cried, and the house, that's us, was filled with smoke. What is going on?
We're getting purified.
Well, no, smoke is a covering. Mm-hmm. You can't see good in smoke, can you? This is when we're being reintroduced into the life of this world. Okay? We're seeing the whole creation of what God did. He created a man, and he looked at him, what he'd done. He said, what are they? Very good. Right? He created us, and we're perfect. In every way, he created us perfect. Okay? And then he put us back into a situation to test us. And this is the testing. He put us in the house filled with smoke. That's talking about our minds. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's our minds being clouded with these seraphim and cherubim, the things that cloud our thinking process. We can't see clearly in smoke, can we? So we're unable to see. And when we're unable to see clearly that Christ is within us, guess what you cry out next? Woe is me! Now you start to see the flesh. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now you're beginning to see the imperfections in the flesh. And the flesh is just a vessel to transport you through this testing period.
And the first thing the eye says is, I'm not worthy.
I'm not worthy because I see I'm not perfect any longer. See, I'm focused now not on the Christ, but I'm focused upon the flesh, the earth.
Condemnation.
Guilt and condemnation rule now. He said, woe is me because I am cut off. Isn't that what Adam thought he was? Mm-hmm. He thought he was cut off from God? He wasn't. Because I am a man of unclean lips. He said, I can't even speak righteousness because I lie. Well, what vessel hasn't lied? Mm-hmm. See? And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He said, I saw what I was supposed to be, but now I can see what I am in the flesh. That's all he's saying. He said, I can see. Isaiah saw himself in perfection in God. And then he saw his flesh and what it looked like. He knows the difference now. Now he knows the difference from right and wrong. And didn't Paul say in his writing, had you not known, Jesus said the same thing, had you not known right from wrong, you know, if I had not said I wanted the law, if I had not known the law, I'd never known the law of grace and mercy if I hadn't known the law of Moses. I would have not known if it wasn't for the law, I would have never known that I shouldn't covet or kill or lie or steal. I would have never known those things. And Jesus said, if you hadn't said you were already righteous and you didn't need this and you were already perfect, then you wouldn't be guilty of your sin. And that's what this story is all about. So he said, I'm unclean because I've seen now the King. And then one of the seraphim, these symbolical creatures, one of them flew to him having a live coal. Now, live coal would be what?
It's hot.
And he said he was going to make his ministers a flame of fire, didn't he? So he said, he's going to bring some fire over there and put it on your tongue. And fire is purification. And he took it and he put it on his lips, which he had taken from the tongs of the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, he has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is what?
That says purged.
Huh? Well, the word here for purge is what it says in the King James, but the actual word is kafar. You ever heard it? I know you have.
Atonement.
Yes, it is. It's atonement. It's the same one he used in the Ark of the Covenant when it said it was pitched on the inside and the outside. It's kafar. It's atonement. Okay? It's been atoned for. Okay?
It's
atonement. Huh?
At one,
it means atonement, it means to cover, it means to pitch inside and out, to cover with pitch inside and out, or to cancel. See? So he put it on there and your sin has been canceled. Guess what that was? There was the crucifixion. His crucifixion took care of it. Verse 8, he goes on and says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then said I, here am I, send me. He heard something. And see, this is not about a church calling. It's not about an organization saying, hey, will you be our preacher? Will you do this for me? This is about when you realize that God has took care of your flesh. When you see King Uzziah die, you see the king high and elevated on his throne and filled with glory, and you realize, this is me. I have seen the King of Glory. I realize it now that everyone has this. Everybody else can't see it, but you see it. Do you know what that makes you feel like?
Yeah.
Woe is me. Why me? Why have I seen it and no one else seen it? Because it's not your choice, is it? You were bought with a price.
Christ is calling out from within.
He's calling out from within him, and he's saying, here I am, send me. And see, that wasn't Isaiah saying that.
That was a Christ.
That was a Christ in him. He's saying, I am now ready to be used. Because God, not purifying ourselves, not by taking communion, not by being water baptized, not by doing any of these things, did I ever purify myself. Not by not smoking, not drinking, not cussing, lusting after women, doing drugs or lying or stuff. Doing that stuff or not doing that stuff doesn't cut it. It's what God has done. God said, look here, I sent this thought process into you and showed you that I have purified you by my fire, by my spirit. And when I do it, you'll be ready to go. And when you're ready to go, you'll be the first one. You won't have to ask somebody, think I should start preaching now? I've been in church now for several years. You think I should be preaching? Or teaching, or doing something, or prophesying, or no, you'll be the first one to know it because you're the one experiencing it.
When you start speaking, you'll definitely know.
When you ask someone, when someone comes to me and asks me, do you think I am, or am I this, or am I that, I know immediately they're not. Because the only thing you come to a prophet for is for verification of what something you have already heard, confirmation. You should hear it first. Don't come and ask me if you are. Come and tell me what God has said to you. And I can confirm or affirm what you heard or said. Is it true or not? But I can't tell you if you are anything. It's not my place, is it? That's what's wrong with the Pentecostal realm, because everybody for years has been running around prophesying to everybody. And they believe what someone told them.
They doubt themselves.
Well, and when they doubt themselves, a double-minded man's how stable?
Well, they doubt themselves and they look to someone else to verify.
Right. So that tells me they have no confidence. And if they're truly a disciple of God, they're going to have confidence. God's going to bring that confidence to you. And you're going to speak what God gives you. And you don't care what anybody else says.
Your self-strength is weak. And then you go to someone else that's got self-strength. Yeah. And you're asking them for their self-strength.
It's like taking a Mercedes to a Chevrolet dealer and trying to get them to fix it. God is the one that created us. So who should be fixing us? And we're going back to man and saying, hey, how about fixing me? It ain't going to work. I can say, ain't, I'm a hillbilly. Don't make any difference. But God is the one that's going to fix us. He created us and He'll fix us. Nobody else understands humanity like He does. Nobody does. And He said, and this is God speaking, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And seeing you so, and see you indeed, but you perceive not. That same passage is in Matthew 13, 15 and Acts 28:27. See? He said, you see, but you don't understand what you see. You hear, but you don't perceive what you're hearing. See? And that's what's wrong today. People hear things, but they don't know what it is. If I don't understand the language, how do I communicate?
Not too well.
Every time a prophet was speaking and writing in here, it usually says he was in the spirit or he was in another realm. He was lifted up. We're not talking about walking in the earthly realms, are we? We're talking about spiritual realms. And Paul said we are seated in heavenly places, spiritual realm. We're in a higher realm. The people sitting in the death realm, the earth realm, cannot understand what we say. I'm sorry, I'm not slicing or dicing anything. I'm just telling you the truth. If you don't have ears to hear by the Spirit, you can't hear what I'm saying. It's okay. It's like tongues is a sign. Okay, I'm not talking about talking in the tongues as Pentecostal people do. I've been there. But that's not what God's talking about. That was for a time and a season until you grow up. And when you grow up, you realize that speaking the truth, I can sit and talk the things I'm talking right now today to certain people, and they look at me like their eyes crossed and like can't figure out anything I'm saying. They can't comprehend, even though I'm speaking English to a person that supposedly understands English, but I'm speaking spiritual concepts to them that they don't understand. And I understand that. I don't get upset with people that don't understand me. I just still have to say what I have to say. I don't have a choice in this matter.
He's telling you right here that that's what's going to happen.
Absolutely. And when I see that, I understand that they're not going to understand. But you go tell them anyway. Didn't he tell Moses, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go? He's not going to, because I'm going to harden his heart. Isn't that what he's telling you here? They're not going to understand what you're saying. They're not ready yet, but it's okay. And he says, verse 10, make the heart, and we know that word heart should be what?
Mind.
Mind, right? Make the mind of this people fat. That means not making them big, huge people, not making them big, fat heads, see?
They're full of themselves.
No, they're lazy. And make their ears heavy, and make them look at things with complacency, okay? Excuse me, make their ears dull, should make them dull, and shut their eyes or make them look with complacency so they really don't have any urgency in anything that they're doing. They just do whatever.
Wow.
What?
That's
what they're doing.
Today.
Absolutely, it's today. And lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, that's Shama, with their ears, and understand with their, not heart, because that blood pump doesn't, but their mind, and convert, or literally return, and be what? Or made whole. Now there's a difference between being healed and being made whole. And the same principle is taught about the lepers. Remember the story in the Gospels about the 10 lepers? And after they were all had leprosy, and Jesus came along and he healed them. And when he healed them, they all took off. He said, go show yourself to the priest and show and give your offering to the priest under the law. And they all took off down the road, but this one guy turned around and came back. And he came back to worship Jesus. And he said, what's the deal here? What are you doing here? And he said, you're it. You're the one. You've took care of my sin, my leprosy. You've healed me. But what was that 1/10? 1 out of 10. It was the first fruit. It was the tithe. He said, I want a tithe from the earth. There was the tithe coming back to him, back to God. See, so it's the same thing we're doing here. There's a certain group that's going to heal, that's going to hear and be converted and come back. But he's talking right now, most of them ain't going to, and that's okay. But that one group comes back. And he said, weren't there 10? Where's the other 9? they're gone. See, they're going into their deception on their own. If you won't believe the truth, I'll send you a strong delusion, and you will believe the lie. Right? Huh? Or you send them a priest. There you go. Yeah. So, verse 11. Then said I, how long? And he answered and said, until the cities. Now, you know what the word city actually represents here? It's not really a city, really. I mean, you know this language is symbolism, and if they don't understand the language, they're not going to translate it properly. So it said, then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered and said, until the stronghold of man be wasted without inhabitant, and the personal strongholds of man, and the land, and that's the flesh, be utterly desolate. Oh my God. Until the corporate standing of man, that's the church systems, all grouped together. Just like the Jewish system was the religious system of the day, wasn't it? And the houses without man, and literally it means the personal strongholds. So not just the corporate strongholds of religion, but me personal, and I got to get it down on this level, that I got to get rid of all my strongholds in my thinking process. Do you hear me? I got to change the way I think. And the land, that's my flesh, okay? And it's guess what that word is, the land? 120?
Adam.
What's it telling you? It's your flesh. And the flesh be utterly desolate. The land is utterly desolate. Romans, Paul said, when he was crucified, you were crucified in him. When he was buried, you were buried in him, with him. And when he was resurrected, you were resurrected in him. It's already over, but we have to be able to see it. And when we see it, we must believe what he said, not what we see around us.
Wouldn't that also tie into the verse in Ecclesiastes about whenever the dust goes back
to the earth and the spirit returns to God who gave it?
Once you are aware that that flesh is actually dead,
yeah.
The only thing is the spirit.
Only thing's left is spirit.
Christ.
It's right back with God. Absolutely. Beautiful pictures. Beautiful pictures. But you have to let God open this up to you. It's like a big flower opening up and see all this stuff. Verse 12, it goes on and said, "The Lord and the Lord has removed man far away." Who is that man? Mankind. He's talking about mankind, the natural man, being moved, removed far away from who? The Christ. See, it's an internal thing. You can't take this thing back external. Everything, and the only reason it goes external is because people can't see it internal. They can't see with their eyes and then perceive what they're looking at. They're looking at something, and because their mind can't pick up and realize this is an internal thing, they run right back and put it outside somewhere. And anytime you take this book outside of yourself, you're missing the mark. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's all internal. God is working internal. He lives inside of us. He's internal. So when the Lord has... Who's going to do the removing? You or Him?
Yeah.
See, the church says you've got to do it, and God says, no, I'm going to do it. You can't do it. And there'd be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. Hello!
Yeah.
Where's this great forsaking taking place? Inside of us. I have to realize that there's a forsaking of my flesh. When Jesus died on the cross, "Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" He didn't give up on himself in him. He gave up on his flesh because the flesh is done. It served its purpose. It's over with.
Needs to die.
It needs to go on. Back to the dust. Needs to be recycled. They can call it reincarnation if they want to, but sorry, I don't believe in it. Okay. But look down here. "But yet it shall be," what?
A tenth.
"It shall be." It is, should say, it is a tenth. It's a tithe or a first fruit, isn't it? "And it shall return." There's that same story about the 10 lepers, isn't it? It's the same as Genesis 1, 1 through 3. There's a tithe, there's a first fruit.
It's incorruptible seed.
It's incorruptible seed which cannot die. Okay? "And it shall be consumed by fire." When it says eaten, it should say consumed by fire. "As a teal tree," and that word teal tree should be a strong oak tree. When it says a teal tree and as an oak, those are all good. That should be one thing. It should say as a strong oak tree, "whose substance is in them when they are felled." It says cast their leaves. It should be say are felled. "So the holy seed shall be," or "is in them is their stump," rather, it should say. When it says shall be the substance thereof, it should say in them is their stump. When a tree is felled, they cut it down. And in that stump, it's still there, there's life. There's a sprout can came from that tree and go right back and grow another tree, can't it? So he said, when you go down, your tree is cut down, but the stump in you, which is the Christ, that seed is still there, and it will sprout another. And the Christ continually comes, doesn't he? Jesus said in the Gospels, as the lightning comes from the east and goes to the west, and lightning doesn't come from the east to the west, it goes anywhere it wants to, don't it? But the word should be as the light, and the light that comes from the east to the west is the sun, the S-U-N, the S-O-N, same thing. He comes the same way as the S-U-N comes. It's a continual coming. It's always coming every day. Somewhere on the earth it's coming, isn't it? Right now. It's coming up every day. Every minute of the day it's coming someplace. And that's the way the sun, the S-O-N, is. He's coming continually. And that's what he's telling you here. Cut the tree down and another one comes out. We're talking about the seed of our own bodies that we reproduce into the next one. It's cutting this tree down when I die and the next one comes up. My children behind me come up. Your children behind you come up. Is that true?
Resurrection.
It just, you can't kill the resurrection life. Once it's there, it's there. And the book says he's alive forevermore. It's a beautiful picture. What more can be said?